on 96.1 Hank FM. Tune in over the next hour as Corey talks about the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania. Call in now, 814-946-0435. That's 814-946-0435. Now, Sports Central with Corey Geiger. Brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM.
What an absolutely beautiful day we have in our area. Hopefully your day is going well. Well, this is Sports Central, covering the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania. I'm Corey Geiger. Thank you for joining me on this lovely, what is it now, 75 degrees, 80 degrees tomorrow coming up. This has been a really amazing October with the amount of really good days, 75, 80 degrees, just been fantastic. Got a little bit of a late summer here. 946-0435. That is our number. It feels more like summer. It feels more like baseball season. We should be talking baseball a lot, but it's actually smack dab in the middle of the NFL and college football season. Yesterday was a cool day. Nathan was in. We ended up getting a number of calls on the Pittsburgh Pirates, so that was cool. I enjoy talking Pirates with fans. We asked a question yesterday, which of these teams will win a championship first or next? Penn State, football, Steelers, Penguins, or Pirates. There's no chance that's ever going to be the Pirates. But we did get like three different people calling in wanting to talk about the Pirates and their chances. And they've still got you hooked, folks. They've still got you to where you want to believe, to where you're kind of hooked on, oh, Paul Skeens, what happens this, that? So, all right. A lot of football today. Certainly a huge game coming up Saturday, Penn State against Ohio State at Beaver Stadium. The first top five matchup since 1999 at Beaver Stadium. Back then, Penn State destroyed Arizona in the season opener. Now 25 years later, number three Penn State, number four Ohio State. I'll just kind of open it up here a little bit throughout the show today. You tell me what you expect to see Penn State, Ohio State. I got Joe Smeltzer from Nittany Sports Now will join me here in about 15 minutes, and we'll break the game down and what we expect. I want to know what you expect. What do you expect, number three Penn State versus number four Ohio State? I expect Penn State to get handled kind of good, 30-20. 30-20 is my score. Two primary reasons for this. The defense is not anywhere near as good as it was last year. The defense gives up 30 to USC, 27 to Bowling Green. The defense is not, and we don't know about Denai Dennis Sutton. KJ Winston is out, obviously. The defense is not the dominant force that we've kind of come to expect from Penn State week in and week out for a number of years. It's a good defense, but they haven't faced many really good offenses that, you know, can move the ball through the air. And I think this Ohio State team is going to come out and really be able to do a lot of things on offense. Secondly, this has been a big problem for James Franklin. We kind of discount 2014 and 2015. He was rebuilding the program after the scandal and the sanctions. When in 2016, when the team became a national power again, a big problem that everybody noticed that year, slow starts in the first half. Even with Trace McSorley and Saquon Barkley and Chris Godwin and Mike Gesicki and all those dudes, Penn State still got off to a slow start in the first half a lot. That has absolutely been the case this year. It's been a nagging issue for Penn State. They trailed at the half against Bowling Green. Now, they did score 20 points, but Bowling Green had 24. Kent State, they won 56-0. 28-0 at the half. That was really a misnomer kind of game. You can't take anything out of that game. Illinois, they scored 7 points in the first half. The game was tied at the half, 7-7. USC scored 6 points in the first half. They were down 20-6. At Wisconsin, they scored 7 points in the first half. They were down 10-7. This is a problem. This is a problem that shows up when you face great competition. It bites you. So I've got Penn State 30, or I've got Ohio State winning 30-20. I just think Penn State's slow starts on offense puts the team behind the eight ball once again. Meanwhile, I think Ohio State moves the ball pretty well, and they end up kind of, you know, maybe it's 23-20 late, Ohio State gets a late touchdown. Maybe it's 27-20, Ohio State gets a late field goal. But I got Ohio State winning by double digits. The line is 3.5. Let's see if that's still what it is. Yeah, 3.5. I would definitely take Ohio State. I'd buy it down to -3 for Ohio State. Again, I'd just always do that. You get -3 for -120. That would be the way to go. But ESPN's matchup predictor gives Ohio State a 60.9% chance to win the game. So I've got Ohio State 30-20. Tell me how you see the game playing out. You want to give a score prediction? You want to give just kind of a general game overview of what you think is going to happen? At this stage, we don't know if Drew Aller will be playing. So we've talked a lot this week about Bo Prabula, who gives Penn State a better chance to win. To me, if Drew Aller is at least 90%, then you go with him. Because Drew Aller at 90-plus percent does give you the passing attack, more experience, but he won't be able to run much and probably won't run at all. If he's less than 90%, you have to go with Bo Prabula. And then you have to tailor a game plan to where, you know, misdirection, change of pace, doing some different things, all has to come into play. And, you know, Bo Prabula went out and threw the ball well at Wisconsin, but Ohio State's defense is not Wisconsin. I saw some numbers earlier today. Penn State has always really struggled running the ball against Ohio State. That's a big concern because you've got Nick Singleton. We don't know if he's fully 100% healthy right now. You've got Catron Allen is the workhorse. But I'm trying to find the stats here from Tyler Donahue from Lines 247 posted this earlier today. So I'm trying to scroll through my Twitter here. I'll see if I can find it. But Penn State, you can't count on the running game like you can against most other opponents. And again, I do want to give you these numbers here if I can find them. This is from Tyler Donahue. Says, examined Penn State's running back production during this 7-game losing streak versus Ohio State. PSU got 44 yards from Barkley in 2017, averaged 2.1 yards per carry. 43 yards from Miles Sanders in 2018, 2.7 yards per carry. Three running backs were held to collective 2-yard average in 2021. Running backs reached 75 rushing yards once in 2022. During that 7-game losing streak to Ohio State. So again, if they can't run the, now that's where Bo Prabula could be a very, very interesting X factor if he ends up starting. Cause now you can maybe do some things with Bo and Nick and Catron and Tyler Warren. Wouldn't be surprised to see Tyler Warren throw a couple passes, maybe. I am concerned about Nicholas Singleton. There were rumors that he might not be able to go at Wisconsin. He ended up playing, but did not have a great game. He only had about 30 yards rushing. And somebody was sent me a message earlier today, said, I'm a little worried about Singleton's lack of a burst, that the speed doesn't seem to be there of late. Remember, he missed the game a few weeks ago, so against what? I think it was UCLA. But Singleton against Wisconsin had 12 carries for 49 yards. So a little better than I thought. 12 for 49. All right, 946-0435. You want to weigh in on what you think will happen during this game. All right, we'll take your phone calls. Joe Smeltzer from Nittany Sports Now will join me in a couple minutes as well.
This is J.M. Boswell. Visit me before hunting, fishing, tailgating, and I will make your visit easy and fast. Don't slow up the tailgate party or the hunting trip with your friends without a great cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's Pipes, 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22, Alexandria, PA. Open 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 4 on Saturday, and always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast.
Hello, I'm Bud Blackie from J&P Auto Mart. Back in 2008, I transferred from the old Bud Mart to J&P Auto Mart. That's right, I've been at J&P Auto Mart selling pre-owned automobiles in Central PA for over 12 years.
J&P Auto Mart is Blair County's largest pre-owned auto outlet. Over 150 units to choose from. Experience with all types of credit and all forms of income. The creativity to get the deal done.
That's no joke. We're serious about putting you behind the wheel of a quality pre-owned vehicle. So come in and see me, Bud Blackie, at J&P Auto Mart.
Apply online at jnpautomart.com or phone 944-5338.
Whether it's popcorn for a movie or chips and snacks for your Halloween party or trick-or-treat, great times and great snacks go hand-in-hand. Davison Snacks Outlet is your go-to place for snacks. Whether you want crispy, savory, or sweet, everything from small bags to bulk packages and gift baskets, too. Davison Snacks has Martin's Chips and Snacks, jerky from Bronco Billy's and Rougarou, All-Star Cotton Candy, Little Debbie Snack Cakes, Boyer Candy, Dots Pretzels, Wise Snacks, and more. Life is better with snacks from Davison Snacks Outlet, 16843 Dunnings Highway, Duncansville.
At Shoofly, they think on their feet so you can walk in comfort and style. When you step into Shoofly, you'll be greeted by a friendly and knowledgeable staff who will assist you in finding the perfect shoe for any occasion. Shoofly believes that every foot problem has a fitting solution, and they will work with you to make sure you don't have to sacrifice style for comfort. For more information or to schedule a professional fitting with one of Shoofly's fit specialists, visit their website, ShoeflyStores.com. Shoofly. Your feet will thank you.
Got Medicaid or are you uninsured? Do you need a doctor? We love to care at Gloria Gates Care, and we're now accepting new members. At Gloria Gates Care, we've got all your needs in one place, and we welcome you to come join us while we help you to receive the quality care you deserve. At Gloria Gates Care, we're redefining healthcare. For office hours and more information, call 814-300-7777. Gloria Gates Care, 2525 9th Avenue, Suite B, Altoona. Online at GloriaGatesCare.com.
With all the activities and sports you and the kids are involved with, who has time to cook? So with that in mind, let's go to Best Way Pizza for the three-cut lunch deal with a soda. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for their awesome 15-cut big deal. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 28-cut party box. It's time to get you and your team to Best Way Pizza before or after the game. Best Way Pizza, Greenwood, Altoona, and Hollidaysburg.
Get to Mattis Motorsports now for CF Moto ATVs and side-by-sides. Mattis Motorsports is also your headquarters for trailers, both open and closed. Campers, brands like Astoria, Gulfstream, Puma, and more. Bad Boy Zero Turn Mowers in Lear and ARE truck cabs. Give Mattis Motorsports a call at 814-940-6288. Or check them out in person at 1702 East Pleasant Valley Boulevard in the Greenwood section of Altoona. And remember,
if it doesn't say Mattis, you paid too much.
All right, welcome back. We've got Penn State, Ohio State coming up at noon on Saturday. What do you make of a noon kickoff for this kind of game? Joe Smeltzer from Nittany Sports Now. We're going to talk a lot about the game and everything, but Joe, noon, man, is this just an example of what's wrong with college football? I mean, some of the great memories in Penn State history happen in these games at night. What do you make of a noon kickoff here?
Thanks for having me on, as always, Corey. Say that I'm like the majority. I would definitely prefer a game in Beaver Stadium of this magnitude to be at night. But at the same time, it's hard to fault Fox and the Big Ten for wanting to make as much money as possible. It's just business. So, I think having the biggest games of the day being at noon is necessarily a great thing for the players and fans' standpoint, but I don't know. I guess business is just business, so that's kind of the way I look at it.
You're not wrong, but I think Penn State gets screwed here because the atmosphere at Beaver Stadium at 7:30 at night on a Saturday when everybody's drunk and the whiteout and the craziness, Joe, I think that's worth a touchdown. I think a noon game, yep. I think a noon game with their traditionally slow starts just as a program in general – James Franklin's slow starts with the offense. I think it's almost like a negative three or something. I think it's so you go from a plus seven for a night kickoff. I think it's worth losing 3 points. I just think that's a gigantic difference in terms of what kind of football team we're going to see.
I agree with that, but at the same time, you could have made the same argument for Ohio State last season, right? Playing a home game at noon, and obviously that didn't seem to hurt Ohio State too much in Marvin Harrison Jr. So, I definitely see what you're saying. I think that Penn State would be in a better position if this game were at night, but at the same time, you go back to 2018, Penn State had Ohio State at home at night and lost that one. Last season, on the road at noon, lost that one. So, it just feels like whatever that time, month, whatever, ETC, Ohio State just has Penn State's number for one reason or another in the James Franklin era, and really in any era since both teams have been in the Big Ten.
So let's examine this specific matchup. We don't know Drew Aller's status yet. What do you think they do at quarterback? Just give us a guess on if Drew's healthy, if Drew's 90%. Do they use Bo regardless anyway in some factor? What do you think happens at quarterback?
Well, to answer the second part first, I would definitely say that Bo Pribula is going to be a factor in this game regardless of Drew Aller's health, right? You saw what he could do last week, and last week was really vindication for Penn State in that they used Bo Pribula a lot through the first six games, and some people thought they were using him too much. Some people thought that whenever Bo got in the game, it just kind of disrupted the rhythm of what the offense was doing. But them using Bo in the role they did at that Swiss Army night for the first six games, I think really prepared him to go into the situation he did last week and really helped avoid a Taquan Riverson situation from Iowa a few years ago. So I definitely expect to see Bo, but as far as Drew's health goes, from everything I've been hearing, and we'll get to see more. I'm actually driving to practice right now for the weekly media viewing window. I'm expecting to see Drew at practice. I would think that he'll be in some sort of knee brace. From everything I've been hearing, it's a sprained knee, which I think could have been probably predicted based on seeing him get hurt against Wisconsin. Everybody knows he hurt his knee, and I would say that he's probably estimate between 70 and 85%. I don't know how accurate that is, but that's what I would guess. And I think that you're going to see Drew Aller out there. This is just too big a game for him not to go out there unless he just absolutely can't go. And I think if he's healthy enough to practice all week, he's going to be healthy enough to play in this one. After, especially given him being an Ohio kid, grew up an Ohio State fan, and you were in the press room in Columbus last season and saw just the hurt on Drew Aller's face after losing to Ohio State. He's not going to miss this game, I don't think.
Okay. What I don't want to see is Bo Pribula just out there in running situations. The reason Bo worked against Wisconsin is because he threw the ball. So, no matter how they use him, I want to see Bo out there throwing some passes. That, to me, is the advantage that Bo Prabula can give you in an Andy Kotelnicky offense. He's not Will Levis back there just going to run on every single play. So what I'm saying is, let's say Drew plays, and Drew's out there, but it's third and two.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. And I think, yeah, one of the big question marks regarding Bo for the past 3 years is, okay, we know this guy's a good athlete. We know he can run. Can he throw the football? And I think if he can go into Madison kind of cold off the bench, right, I don't think Bo was really used to much in the first half at all. And if he could go into that environment and that situation, complete 11 of 13 passes for 98 yards, for an all easy pass worry. I think, obviously, you watched the game and you saw him through some tough windows. So, yeah, I think that Bo showed last week, maybe more than anything else, that he could throw the football. And I think with that element, you can not only use Bo to use his legs and run, but Ohio State knows he can throw now. And you got to have Ohio State thinking that he can throw the ball. And you're not going to fool anybody if you have him run out there every play.
That's exactly right. You're not going to.
Saturday, you got to have him throw it.
You're not going to fool Ohio State having Bo Prabula out there running every time. But if you bring Bo Prabula out there and say you let him throw it on his first play or run a play, then throw it. I mean, again, I go back to third and two. Let's say he's in the game on third and two or fourth and two. Ohio State's doing everything in the world to stop him from running. That's when you do a little quick hitch, 3 yard dump off or a quick slant or tossing one to Tyler Warren. To me, that's where, in smaller doses, I don't think necessarily over the course of a full game, Bo can do a lot of things. It's just going to trick Ohio State over the course of 70, 75 plays. But if you can get him out there for 15 plays and you let him throw six or seven times, now then you bring Drew Aller back there. Now you maybe have something cooking. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I think that I agree. I think that Penn State has the personnel to where you mentioned in those short yardage situations. You could definitely throw the ball on third and two with Bo Prabula. I think you look at what this guy has around him, right? You have the best tight end in college football, I think, bar none, in Tyler Warren. You have Nick Singleton, who can catch the ball out of the backfield. I think Ka'Shawn Allen, if he needs to, can catch the ball out of the backfield. And then you have more tight end depth behind Tyler Warren. Khalil Diggins has shown himself capable in short yardage situations. Luke Reynolds, I think, is kind of a wild card to true freshman. And then we still don't know too much about this receiving core, even seven games in, I think. And to some extent, the verdict is still out on that. But, yeah, I think the combination of what Bo can do throwing the football and the pieces that this guy has around him would make it easy for Penn State to throw a pass with the backup quarterback on third and short when Ohio State might be preparing for the run.
All right, Joe Smeltzer from Nittany Sports Now. I'll go ahead and tell you this. I'll get your prediction at the end. I will go ahead and tell you the way I see it playing out and the pitfalls I see for Penn State. I got Ohio State winning 30-20. Primarily for two reasons. Penn State's slow starts on offense. 7 points at the half against Wisconsin, trailing. 6 points at the half against USC, trailing. They were trailing against Bowling Green, but they did score 20 points. It seems to be, and this has long been the case with James Franklin, they come out, they do what they kind of plod through the first half, they go in, they make great adjustments in the second half. For all the things that we can say that Andy Kotelnicky has done very, very well, the offense has not been good in the first half. And so if you're out there struggling in the first half and you get down against this particular team, this is not like getting down against Bowling Green. This is not like getting down against USC. USC doesn't have the athletes or the physicality like Penn State. Ohio State does. So my number one concern is the slow starts the first half. How do they try to avoid that and at least go out and try to get 13, 14 points on the board in the first half?
Oof, that's a tough question. I don't know if they do. I don't know if the combination, like you said, obviously we can attribute early starts to slow starts, but what about last Saturday when they were down 10-7 at the half against Wisconsin? That was a night game. So I just think that for whatever reason, this offense can get out fast. So, yeah, for me to say that they're going to, you know, score 14 points in the first quarter against Ohio State, that'd be...
No, not first quarter. First half.
First half.
Give me 13, 14 points in the first half.
Yeah.
But if not, then you're probably trailing at the half.
Yeah, but I think if Penn State's going to do it's gonna do that, and I don't know if they do, if they're going to get off to a fast start and put up double-digit points in the first half, at least a respectable total going into halftime. I go back to what really worked for them last week. And yeah, we could talk about Bo Fribula, and he was the big story of last week's game, right? Jalen Reese pick six, probably the second big story. But nobody really talked about Catron Allen in the running game. I think a big difference in the first half to the second half last week was Penn State being able to really kind of dominate on the ground with Catron Allen leading the way. So I think if there's a way for Penn State to avoid the slow start, I think they're going to have to do what worked for them in the second half against Wisconsin, what worked for them really all night against Illinois, and that's really the kind of pound the rock, use this offensive line, and use the two talented backs to really kind of punish Ohio State on the ground. I think that is the biggest path to getting off to a fast start for Penn State, and it might be one of the big keys to winning this football game in general.
And the second element is just running the ball specifically. They've struggled running the ball against Ohio State. I'm going to repeat this. I mentioned this earlier from Tyler Donahue from Lions247. He tweeted this out earlier today about Penn State's rushing attack against Ohio State during the seven consecutive losses. Saquon had 44 yards in 2017, averaged 2.1 yards per carry. Miles Sanders, 2.7 yards per carry, 43 total in 2018. Those two guys are in the NFL. Saquon may be a Hall of Famer when all is said and done. Three running backs held to a collective two-yard average in 2021. Running backs reached 75 yards rushing one time in 2022. Do you expect Penn State to be able to run the ball? I'm talking about just running backs here because we'll bring in the Pribula component here in a second. But just from a running back standpoint, is Nick Singleton healthy? Are they going to be able to run for 75 yards against Ohio State?
I think they are. I think that this running game really has gotten kind of its struggles out of the way early, right? And what I mean by that is, they ran the ball pretty well consistently for the first 4 weeks. But then you look at the numbers for UCLA and USC. Granted, UCLA, you had no Nick Singleton, and USC, the game kind of dictated Penn State to need to pass a lot and really get away from the run. But I think that for me to see this running game struggling three times in 4 weeks, I just don't really see it. And I think that this Penn State offensive line is good enough to stand up to Ohio State, and I think these running backs have proven themselves to be good enough. As far as the health of Nick Singleton, I'm not 100% sure about that, but he's been playing, so I think that he will play a role. He had that great catch in the end zone against Wisconsin last week, so I think we know he's healthy enough to do that. So, I think that I feel pretty good about this running game going into Ohio State, but at the same time, a lot of this is going to depend on the offensive line, which has not done well in the past few years against the Buckeyes.
I don't feel confident about the running game because of Ohio State. This is not so much necessarily a Penn State thing. This is an Ohio State thing and the matchup here specifically. By the way, Penn State had 49 yards rushing total last year in Columbus. I think Ohio State is going to do everything in the world to put everybody in the box and say, you ain't running the damn ball on us. You want to throw it on us? You don't have the receivers to do that. And we're going to trust that Drew Aller maybe isn't a whole heck of a lot better than he was last year when he had one of the worst games in Penn State football history as a starting quarterback. I think he was 10 for 32 at one point in that game. So to me, I have faith in what Penn State can do, but with a hobbled Drew Aller, I just wonder what Ohio State's game plan is, that their number one priority is going to be to come in and say, you are not running the football. If you can beat us on the outside, And now, this is where Tyler Warren could very much come into play. You know, if they're loading up the box to stop the run, that's one less guy that they can necessarily put on Tyler Warren if he sneaks out. If Bo Prabula is in there, you know, that's a little bit of a different challenge. There are ways I think Penn State could still be kind of effective offensively and move the ball and maybe even run the ball a little bit. I just don't see the running backs necessarily doing it, Joe. I think that Ohio State's going to lock in on Singleton and Allen and really make it tough for those two guys.
Yeah, and that's a fair point. But I think where Penn State has an advantage, Corey, is what you mentioned, and that they have different ways to be effective offensively. They have the creative play calling, which they didn't have last year. You have Tyler Warren, who's having the best season, I think, of any tight end in Penn State. And I know that's a heavy statement, but I think the numbers would back me up there. You can run it with both Griffey. You could do a lot of different things aside from number 10 and number 13 and running the football. So I have faith in those two backs, especially if they're being used on the field at the same time in creative formations, which we didn't really see with Mike Yurcich last season. We're seeing that with Kotel Nicki this year. I think those guys can get the job done, but if they don't, I still think Penn State has a few different ways to move the ball and get some points against Ohio State.
You know what I want to see? I want to see a formation one time in the backfield. Bo, Nick, Katron, Tyler Warren, all together. All four of them back there at the same time, doing whatever, running around in circles, whatever the hell's going on. Maybe you snap the ball from the right tackle spot or left tackle spot again. I think that would be hilarious to see. And again, that could be an X factor here, or a big X factor, if Andy Kotelnicki is just, if he's just more creative than any of these past Penn State coaches trying to line up and do regular stuff. So there, that's the offense. My concern with the defense is this. USC put up 30 points on them. I know it went to overtime. Bowling Green put up 27 points on them. Statistically, this defense isn't remotely close to as good as they were last year when they had the number one defense in the entire country. Now, they can play very, very, very well at times, and they can look really good at times. So what I'm concerned about from a defensive standpoint is this team can throw the ball. USC could throw the ball, and they did. Bowling Green could throw the ball, and they did. Do I think Will Howard is the second incarnation of it? No, but he can throw the ball. And so I think Penn State's defense is going to be pretty susceptible here because they don't face a lot of quarterbacks and offensive schemes in general, Joe, that come out there and say, we're going to throw the ball. No matter what, we're going to throw the ball. That to me, is a gigantic component of this game. I'm just not sure that Penn State's defense is going to be good enough to stop Ohio State consistently.
Yeah, and what you have, Penn State isn't going to face a receiving core that features Jeremiah Smith and Emeka Ibuka either. Ohio State's receivers are always on a different level.
But there's no Marvin Harrison. He won the damn game last year almost by himself.
He did. But my point is that could happen again. We see how a great receiver can single-handedly take over a football game. And I know Jeremiah Smith isn't at Marvin Harrison Jr.'s level maybe yet as a true freshman, but he's still, I think he's the favorite to win the Biletnikoff. And he's a guy that's capable of taking over a football game. And I think if that ends up happening, if what happens to Kalen King last season ends up happening to A.J. Harris, Jalen Kimber, whoever they have responsible for Marvin Harrison Jr., that could end up being the difference in the game. And you also have to account for a number two receiver that's pretty darn good as well.
All right. Last thing for you, Joe Smeltzer, Nittany Sports Now. Penn State's going to compete with Ohio State well. They always compete with Ohio State well. I've got Ohio State winning 30-20. I do think this will be a good game, a close game, down close in the fourth quarter, all of those kinds of things. But I've got Ohio State. They've already gone to Oregon, and yes, they lost. I think they probably could have won that game. They're kicking themselves. I think this game just means more to Ohio State, to be perfectly honest with you. Penn State can lose this game and is still perfectly fine in the college football playoff. Perfectly fine. okay? They're going to be a number, if they lose this game, they're a number 7 seed. If Ohio State loses this game, I wonder if Ryan Day's fired on Tuesday, on Monday, for God's sake. So I just look at this a little bit that Ohio State's coming in here, and maybe it means a little bit more to them. What kind of score prediction do you have? And ultimately, at the end of the day, how much does this game matter compared to this game in years past when we only had a 4-team playoff?
Yeah, I'll give my prediction first. I'll go Penn State 31, Ohio State 27.
You got Penn State scoring 31 points on this defense.
Yeah.
Woo!
I just feel like if it's – and it might not all be the offense, Corey. This Penn State's defense is capable of creating turnovers. We've seen how special teams can affect games in this series. I don't know if it's all 30 points is going to all be from the offense being dominant. But I do think that last season, let's face it, the offense single-handedly lost that game in Columbus, and that's a big reason why Mike Yurcich got fired and Andy Kotelnicki ended up coming in. So I think the offense is going to be better than it was last season. And I think the defense will have its struggles, but I feel that Penn State's going to pull it out, and a big reason is that if not now, when are they going to do it? I think Penn State is frankly overdue to beat Ohio State. Maybe you could have said the same thing last year too, but I feel with this game being at home, with the vibes around this program being better than they've been really in a while, and with Penn State kind of playing with house money, and I'll answer the second part of your question by kind of tying it in to the first part. I don't think this game matters nearly as much as it did last season when Penn State really, I don't know if they had to win to make the college football playoff, but it really wasn't a game that they could have afforded to lose. I think now if Penn State loses, it might cost them the Big Ten championship, but as long as you go 11-1, which you look at the last four games, there's no reason Penn State should lose any one of them. You're going to go to the college football playoff and you're going to get a very high seed, probably the number 5 seed, hosting a group of 5 team at home where you have a great chance to win a playoff game and get to the quarterfinal. So, no, it doesn't mean as much as it did in years past. And to an extent, that's a shame. But it also should mean that Penn State shouldn't be wound as tightly going into this game. And if they're playing loose, I think that'll help them in this environment. And that's another reason why I see the narrative kind of changing this season with Penn State getting a win.
All right, Joe Smeltzer from Nittany Sports Now. Appreciate the time as always, man. Enjoy the game.
All right. Thanks, Corey.
All right, we will take your phone calls here, 946-0435. Anybody want to weigh in on with a score prediction? He just picked Penn State to score 31 points. Yikes. I like Joe. Joe's a good guest. I've got Joe on a good bit. He's not afraid to analyze and critique and that kind of stuff. But I'll be perfectly honest with you. That sounded to me like a gigantic homer pick right there. I'm not saying Penn State can't win this game. To pick Penn State to score 31 points when your quarterback is 80 to 90% and your backup quarterback is still not an overly effective passing quarterback in terms of experience. If Penn State wins this game, it's going to be 23-20, 24-23, 20-17, that kind of thing. I'll eat crow if I'm wrong. If they get to 31 points and win a kind of a slugout or a slugfest, I'll have Joe back on next week and apologize. But 31 points he's got. Woo, man. Aha. All right, we'll take some of your predictions after this.
Justin Allgaier is on, getting us all set up for Martinsville Speedway this weekend.
Super fun at Martinsville and being able to go there and win and lock our way into the round of four. But, we've done such a better job this year of gaining points and putting ourselves in a better position. And I think that I'd like to walk into Martinsville with a few more points on the board than what we had last time. But, the top three, if you exclude AJ, the top three, I think, are close enough in points that, if there are two new winners, it could make that last spot really, really difficult to kind of manage. So we'll see what happens, but so far, so good.
And Justin compares the schedules of the Truck, Xfinity, and Cup Series and how it relates to being grueling.
23. So, I mean, you go from, you add another 10 races. It doesn't seem like a lot. You know, it's a significant amount of time and energy and effort. And, you know, the only thing that's really probably helped those guys is honestly the schedule since COVID of being here for a less amount of days, right? When you used to be at the racetrack for the Cup Series for 4 or 5 days, that was hard. It was hard to manage. It was hard to manage mentally as much as it was physically. And so I think if I had one area that experience really makes a difference, it's probably just in managing the weekends, you know, for the full season. But listen, there's enough talent coming through right now that I don't know that experience makes a bit of difference, to be honest with you. I think these guys are going to be really good, and it wouldn't surprise me if a guy like Connor went out and won the race tomorrow.
This is the final lap.
You ever try fixing your car and realize you're missing that one part? Yeah, been there. That's why eBay is my go-to. They've got millions of parts, guaranteed to fit. I'm talking brake pads for when yours have seen one too many miles of stop and go. Oil filters, because you don't mess around with your engine care. Even got this cold air intake on my watch list. I might just go for it. To keep the ride cool and your DIY streak hot. Find all the parts you need at prices you'll love. Guaranteed to fit every time. eBay. Things. People. Love. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
With Progressive's Name Your Price tool, you can easily find coverage options that fit your budget. If only it was that easy to name your baby.
How about Jaden?
Nope.
Okay. Michael?
Went to middle school with a glue-eating Michael.
Sebastian?
Dated one in college.
How about Damien?
Vampire name.
All right. Greg?
Not feeling it.
Okay. No worries. Jeffrey?
Oh, love that one.
Wait, really?
No.
Find coverage options that fit your budget with Progressive's Name Your Price tool. Get a quote at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Not available in all states.
This is J.M. Boswell. Visit me before hunting, fishing, tailgating, and I will make your visit easy and fast. Don't slow up the tailgate party or the hunting trip with your friends without a great cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's Pipes, 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22, Alexandria, PA. Open 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 4 on Saturday, and always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
Kepner's Grandview Meats, 1544 Pleasure Valley Boulevard. Mel and Chris have meals to go. Hot, delicious, homemade meals served up from 1130 to 2. Home-cooked goodness for the price of fast food. Roast beef with mashed potatoes and gravy. Or ham pot pie. Turkey with homemade stuffing and mashed potatoes. They have meatloaf dinners. Kepner Grandview Meats, now with new hours. Open Tuesday through Friday, 8 to 5:30. Saturday, 8 to 3. Call 814-943-6328. 943-6328. Kepner's Grandview Meats.
Hi, welcome back to the show. I want to thank our presenting sponsor, J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars. 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22 in Alexandria. We appreciate their support of our program every single day. They're open 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 4 on Saturday, and always open online at boswellpipes.com. All right, here's a good day for you to give us a Penn State prediction, 946-0435. I got Ohio State 30-20. Our last guest, Joe Smeltzer from Nittany Sports Now, I accused him of making a homer pick. I think it was definitely a homer pick. Not so much that he's picking Penn State to win. I could see an avenue for Penn State to win. But if Penn State scores 31 points, I'll come in next week and say, holy hell, how in the world did Penn State score 31 points? But you've got a quarterback who wasn't tremendously mobile in the first place, who's got a bum knee, and you've got another quarterback who hasn't proven that he can throw the ball against this kind of opponent. So if Penn State wins this game, I think it's going to be somewhere in the likes of 23-20. But Joe Smeltzer had 31-27. 31 points. Yowzers. I think we got Jerry in Bellwood. What's going on, man? How you doing?
Good. So does Ohio State have any weaknesses?
they don't have Marvin Harrison Jr. If we could kind of start there, that guy was phenomenal. He really was the difference in the game last year. Ohio State's offense is not spectacular. Their quarterback, Will Howard, he's been around a long time. He's not the tremendous athlete like they've had with Justin Fields, C.J. Stroud, J.T. Barrett, whatever the heck his name was. They had tremendous, tremendous college quarterbacks, really, for as long as we can remember. Will Howard is a good college quarterback, but I don't know that he's the kind of guy that's just going to light you up all over the field.
So basically you're saying they don't have any weaknesses like Penn State does.
Well, maybe, you know how it is, like the closer you follow something, you see the warts more and all. If I watched Ohio State and followed them 24/7, I don't think their running game is what it's typically been. They got a transfer from Ole Miss, and then they got Travion Henderson. So they got a couple good running backs, but they're not a tremendous running attack like they were, say, 5 years ago. So I would say not so much that Ohio State doesn't have any weaknesses, Jerry. I just don't think that this is a peak Ohio State kind of offense. You know, they're maybe 90 to 95% as good as what a typical Ohio State offense is.
Yeah, see, I think it would be cool if you could get a reporter from Ohio State, or not Ohio State, but, you know, it covers Ohio State. Mm-hmm. I think that would be really interesting. If somebody could evaluate Ohio State like you do Penn State.
I got a buddy out there. His name's Steve Hellwagon from 11 Warriors. He's been on a number of times over the years. I'll reach out to him, see if we can get him on tomorrow or Friday. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
He's pretty honest, too. He's not going to just blow smoke just for Ohio State.
Yeah, he's not a homer. The thing that I kind of disagree with what you were saying, and I understand about it. It's not as big a game for Penn State. They can lose and make the playoffs, but this year so far has been, at least the last couple of games have been games where Franklin has gotten, and Penn State has gotten a couple monkeys off their back, you know, going out to USC and winning, and then having another good game on the road against Wisconsin and not having a letdown. That kind of went against the a narrative that you have with James
did
Franklin.
Did it?
A little bit.
Okay.
But
hang on. I'm just going to say, neither one of those teams was ranked. Neither one of those teams is real good. So they overcame adversity. Okay. I will give credit. They overcame a lot of adversity in both games. When you're down 20-6 at the half, 3,000 miles away from home, that's adversity. But USC's season has collapsed, okay? And Wisconsin, they don't really have much of an offense at all, but, you had to do it with a backup quarterback. So, well, look, there's two things here. I'm not going to diminish or take away the importance of those performances by Penn State. Those are good wins. They are good wins. But let's consider neither one of those opponents is all that good. Ohio State has lost by 1 point to the number one team in the country on the last second on an NCAA rule that doesn't even exist anymore. They're basically 1 second away from rolling in here as the number one team in the country. That to me is being tested. Penn State has been tested, but I wouldn't say they've overcome anything necessarily in terms of Franklin's got to do what he's done against top 15 teams. That kind of thing.
Well, I don't argue with you there. I remember when you, before the Penn State USC game, you said something I agreed with, that USC had more to lose against Penn State than Penn State had in beating USC.
Why I picked USC, because their whole season was on the line, and they've basically the bed this entire season. And keep in mind, and I've said this repeatedly, USC was one pass away from winning that game. The dude's wide open at the 20-yard line with 15 seconds to go. The quarterback throws it over his head by 2 feet. They complete that pass. USC wins the game. That's how close that was.
Yeah, that's why we play the games. You know, and I just think, though, that this game for Saturday is a big game for Penn State because Franklin and Penn State needs to prove they can be one of these great teams, or good teams anyway, or very good teams, however you want to look at Ohio State. So I do think it's a big game. I don't expect them to win. I think the score will be, I predict 24-14 Ohio State, but this could, I think that if Penn State wins, I think this will, in addition to those other two games, I think this will be the capper that will say, you know, Penn State is back.
Just to be clear here, this is a massive game. In no way I'm saying this is not a massive game. I'm telling you, if they lose, it really doesn't matter. That's what I'm telling you. Okay? Play out the math. If they lose this game, they go 11-1, and they're probably a number 6 seed in the playoff. If they win this game, they lose to Oregon in the Big Ten championship game, they're probably a number 5 or 6 seed in the playoff. That's why it doesn't matter. You see what I'm getting at?
Yeah, you're right about that. But if that's the way Penn State and Franklin look at it, then they're losers. I mean,
No. Look, they're going into this. This is a gigantic game for them going into us. I'm just saying that ultimately the results, this is not your typical Ohio State game where if you lose this game, basically your dreams are over. If you lose this game, you're really not in a whole hell of a lot of difference potentially than you would be if you win. If you win this game, yeah, you might be the number one team in the country, and you get a first-round bye. That would be significant. That would be huge. Well, I'm sorry. They would have to beat Oregon in the Big Ten championship game, which I don't think they would do either. So, you know, if you win this game, you have a chance to win the Big Ten. That would be fantastic. But if they lose this game, again, you're probably talking a number 6 seed. If you win this game but lose to Oregon, you're probably talking a number 5 seed. That's not a lot of difference.
Oh, no. I agree with everything you're saying. But I think if Penn State loses this game, it's just going to continue that kind of loser mentality that Penn State has. It's trying to overcome your number one opponent each year. It's going to be bad for Penn State if they lose another big game.
That is true in a lot of ways. But if Aller can't play or he's really hobbled, they've kind of got a built-in excuse. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, they do. But winners don't make excuses like that. So.
Yeah. Good stuff, buddy. Appreciate the call. 946-0435. You want to join us, give a pretty – yeah, no way am I saying this is not a big game. This is a huge game. This is number 3 team in the country versus number 4 team in the country. This is a huge game. I'm just a very pragmatic person. I think things through numerous steps down the road. And so if they win, they will have gotten a gigantic monkey off their back. They've got a chance for a Big Ten championship. They've got a chance to finish number 1 in the country in the regular season. All those things matter. All those things would be huge. And if they beat Oregon and win the Big Ten championship, they're going to be the number 1 team in the country. And they'd get a first-round bye. And that would be magnificent. But that's predicated on whether or not we think that they could beat Oregon in the Big Ten championship game, which I do not.
This is J.M. Boswell. Visit me before hunting, fishing, tailgating, and I will make your visit easy and fast. Don't slow up the tailgate party or the hunting trip with your friends without a great cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's Pipes, 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22, Alexandria, PA. Open 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 4 on Saturday, and always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting rules for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Consult a doctor prior to use.
Wow, you look amazing. What have you been doing?
I'm sure you've heard of Ozempic, Wegovy, and the other GLP-1 medications, right? Well, I found this great company called Zelthy. If you qualify, their providers can prescribe medications like Ozempic and Wegovy and other GLP-1 medications that are 80 to 90% less expensive, all 100% online.
I can get GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% less and do it all online? No doctor's office or pharmacy?
Yes. Zelthy can provide semaglutide or tirzepatide, the active ingredients in Ozempic and other expensive GLP-1s, but for 80 to 90% less and shipped directly to your door.
How do I get started with Zelthy?
Just send them a text.
Text TURN to 200-300 to get started today with Zelthy. Get the same active ingredients in Wegovy or Ozempic, but for 80 to 90% less and 100% online. Don't wait. Text TURN to 200-300 right now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text TURN to 200-300. That's TURN to 200-300. TURN to 200-300.
ARC Federal Credit Union can help you with many of the important things in life. If you'd like to become a member, ARC has growing opportunities, and you'd be surprised at how easy it is to qualify now that ARC includes over 24 local employers and organizations. And with two branches, it's easier than ever. Services like business loans, online banking, and mobile deposit. Let us show you the many benefits of being a member of ARC Federal Credit Union. Stop into 1919 7th Avenue in Altoona and 419 North 7th Street in Juniata.
Real quick, raise your hand if you want to lose an additional 4 bands a year. Go ahead and put your hands up. Put your hands up. You voted for Kamala Harris. Oh, okay, my fault. Good, because I don't think people understand that voting for Trump means you will lose an additional $4,000 to $5,000 a year. If Trump is elected, he plans to add a 60% tariff on all imports from China. Anything in your house that says made in China, take the price that you paid for and add 60%. He plans to add a 20% tariff on all imports coming from every other country. With Kamala Harris's opportunity economy, she's not hitting you with the sales tax of doom. She's providing tax cuts to the middle and working class, so that means you will save an additional $4,000 to $5,000 a year. Plus the $25,000 she's literally handing to new homebuyers, like, you know who to vote for in this November's election. It's Kamala Harris. Paid for by FFPAC, FFPAC.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. FFPAC is responsible for the content of this advertising. Hank FM.
Hardly any phone calls today. I'm surprised. Penn State, Ohio State. Thought we might get a lot of interaction this week. We do have a couple minutes left. If you want to join us, 946-0435. Tomorrow, Halloween, we're going to have a blast. Nathan will be in here. We're going to be talking about our favorite scary movies. You can give us a call with some of your favorites. When's a good time for kids to start watching scary movies? That's an interesting question. I have 12-year-olds. They've not really seen any scary movies yet. My daughter said she did see Scream 5. I haven't seen that. She was at a friend's birthday party. But she doesn't really mind that kind of stuff. My son, he doesn't like scary movies kind of stuff, so I'm not sure. So I'm kind of wondering, like, should I start them off with Halloween? Halloween 1 from 1978, the original. You know, I remember Halloween 1. It's not... I don't think it's tremendously scary. It's spooky and suspenseful. But I much, much, much prefer Halloween 2 from a kind of a scary standpoint. Halloween 2 was fantastic. That's the one where they're in the hospital. Jamie Lee Curtis is in the hospital. What's a good age to let kids start watching scary movies? But we got Halloween tomorrow. Halloween is actually on Thursday for trick-or-treat night, which is really cool. When I moved up here 25 years ago, and it's like, what is this trick-or-treat night thing? What the hell are you talking about? Halloween's not for 4 days or whatever. Why are we trick-or-treating on this random Thursday? So I didn't fully grasp, like, the notion of trick-or-treat day. But I like it now. I kind of like, especially, you know, with kids, you know it's going to be on the Thursday. You can plan for it, that kind of thing. School, Altoona schools are out Friday. How awesome is that? That is sensational work by the Altoona Area School District. I don't know if other school districts are out on Friday, but if you got kids going out all Thursday night, trick-or-treat until it's dark, hyped up on pounds of sugar, it's probably a good idea to not have them in school on Friday. So that's cool. So anyway, Nathan will be in here tomorrow. We will have some fun with our scary movie discussion. I'm 50. I've seen a bunch of scary movies, but only like... until about 15, 20 years ago. I watched all the scary movies, 80s, 90s, 2000s. So I'm curious, Nate, I don't have a lot of reference points to the newer scary movies from the last 10 to 15 years. So we'll get into all that stuff on tomorrow's show. Appreciate everybody tuning in. Have a good night, folks. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Sports Central is an exclusive presentation of 96.1 Hank FM. WKMC Roaring Spring Altoona.